This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
It's the final hour of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980. Cynthia Freeland, Lance Zierlein, both from the NFL Network, going to join us in a little bit. But right now, it is our pleasure to welcome to the show our good friend John Keim, ESPN.com Commanders reporter, because the Commanders are being linked to Deebo Samuel in a report from Fox Sports. And John has been covering this story, including a great podcast with his colleague Nick Wagner, who covers the Niners for ESPN. So definitely for more after our conversation, if you want some more background, you can check out John's pod, the John Keim Report, with that. And we welcome in Keim now. John, Cakes, what's up, dude? How are you?
What up, Craig? How are you?
I'm great. I very much appreciate your time here on a Friday evening. And as I said, you've been following this. And it's funny, these reports this time of year, you know, Schultz kind of advances the story in that it's like, oh, there's serious interest, which sounds like maybe there's been a few more conversations. But this is a story that's been rolling in slow motion. So
yeah,
what do you know about the Commanders' interest in Deebo, how real it is, and what kind of parameters would need to be in place for them to try to make this move?
The parameters, I'm not sure yet, but their interest is very real, and it always has been. Like, this is a guy they know well. I mean, obviously, you know, so from the time that you knew he was available and wanted out, like, this team was the natural link. And, you know, Adam Peters was a GM there when they drafted him, and Anthony Lynn worked there for 2 years as a running backs coach and assistant head coach. So they know him very well. They know the impact he can have when healthy. So the interest is real. And the question will be, you know, the Niners, it sounds like, according to their report, it sounds like Houston is also interested. So that, and obviously D'Amico Ryans would know him very well, having coached in San Francisco as well. So that's what it sounds like. It could come down to those two. What I know is that this team is in the mix. That's what we know. And I don't know, like, the cost of it. It still sounds like it would be a day three draft pick. The Niners don't have a ton of leverage because they're not going to keep him. So the leverage is how many teams are involved and what would they give up. So that's where they get the leverage. So, you know, because they're going to have to, they'll end up cutting him if they don't trade him. But if you have a couple teams interested, then I think something gets done.
They will cut him if they don't trade him. Could probably also be said about John Allen with Washington.
Correct.
Is that
Correct.
Something where, like, the way the contracts are structured and the team needs potentially matching up, could John and Deebo and some kind of pick swap be something that happens?
As of right now, I don't see that angle. I think the Niners would be doing this also to kind of free up cap space for, you know, if they're going to, it'd be a swap of contracts for them. I don't know that they would, I could see them maybe if John gets cut, maybe talking to him or pursuing him that way. I don't know that this would be a player for player trade. Just because, again, the salary cost for John on the cap would be, I think, what, for a new team is $15.5 million, something like that.
Yep.
So I don't know that they would do that. You know, someone else told me that they didn't think that, but, like, until, as you know, with these things, it's hard to be absolute about anything at this time of the year. So I would just say I don't see that. But, you know, then it doesn't mean they wouldn't have interest if he was free. I just don't know if it would be, because then you might be able to control the price a little bit better.
Right.
But in this, and I think they have some guys in the line that they like that's cheaper. and maybe would feel could give them something similar for less. But if you can get them cheaper, that's great. But I don't know that I'd see a player-for-player swap at this point.
So if Deebo Samuel were to wind up in Washington, we know that would be then a piece of their receiver room. The question I would have then is, like, what piece is he? Is he like, you know, is that wide receiver two? And then they're trying to fill out the rest with the Olamide Zaccheauses of the world or whoever else. Is he like his own piece because he's kind of this chess piece, movable weapon type? Like, how does that affect what you think they would do in the rest of the receiver market?
I think you still have to go out and try and get another guy. I think he's a nice, I think he'd be a fun, versatile weapon. And the funny thing is, like, every year you kind of hear that, you kind of wonder, like, how much does he want to continue doing both receiver and running back? Because it does take a toll on a player, right? And it's not like he's carrying about 40 to 50 times a year. It's not like it's, you know, 10 times a game or anything like that. But, you know, but I think he does give you that ability. And I think in this offense, you definitely, Cliff Kingsbury has shown that he can be very creative with how he uses players. But I would still say you would want another guy to complement both he and Terry McLaurin. But he gives you, as what they're looking for, as much as, like, can you add a weapon? That's what he is, if he's healthy. And he has, you know, that's the big key here. If he's healthy, he is then a weapon. And so what you want to add to your offense is as many weapons as possible. So, but I, you know, you could still, I think what it means, Craig, is that you don't have to go out and get, you know, maybe spend more money on that position. You know, you could always, you know, you can look for somewhere in the draft to bring another young guy in. And plus, they have other guys that they would want to bring back in, Olamide Zaccheaus, you know, whether it's Biami or Noah Brown. Like, you know, I think you could still do something there. But I would want to add more, even like if you brought back Noah or whatever. And with Deebo, I'd want to get another guy in here just for depth. And you have guys that with injury histories there.
John Keim, ESPN, with us here on the Hoffman Show. He's such an interesting piece because he's so physical. And, you know, as you talk about with Nick. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I apologize for interrupting, but the physical part is also another aspect here. Now, you know, like, that was a huge thing for Kyle Shanahan with his receivers, and it's something they want to bring here. And, you know, I think that is a very understated but important part of what he would bring.
No doubt about it. And he's just a different body type. I actually saw him a couple of weeks, or like last week. I was out in Phoenix and was at the Exos facility, and he was working out. And I was just like, God, even amongst NFL dudes, like, that is a big dude. And that's why he can do the running back stuff and all of that. In the rest of the receiver room, John, as you've been talking to folks as we head towards free agency next week, you could tell me that Deami Brown makes $5 million next year. You could tell me that he makes $15 million next year, and I would believe you. Have you gotten any kind of gauge on where you think his market will be, a younger guy with real speed?
I don't, but because the hard part for him is that the production wasn't there until later, you know. But he does, you know, he does give you something, right? I think what he showed this year was the ability to, you know, those, the screens. He was really good in the screen game. And he's, you know, I think he gives you something, right, coupled with the speed. And so do you trust what he showed down the stretch? Is that, you know, who he will be for you? So I'm with you. Like, I could see anything with him. You know, I could see another, you know, would he be another one-year deal? Prove it. Because just because what people have, are they going to look at the first 3 years or alone, or not even? You can't look at it alone. But are you, how much are you going to weigh that with this last year? But then you have to look at this past year. Well, now he's playing with a quarterback who can get the ball down the field. He can do different things, and he did do well in the playoffs. So, you know, that has to be a factor. So I could see him getting something better. But I'm with you. Like, I don't have a great feel yet for his market. I'm hoping to find, get that more like over the next week or so to see what it really is. Because it's, you know, I'm with you. Like, he showed something, and he does have skills. I mean, that, like, I really liked watching him on those screens. I mean, he was, those were tough, tough ass runs. So am I allowed to say that?
Yeah,
so,
you can't. That one you can say. There's some other stuff where the radio gets a little squirrely, and we can save it for a podcast. But that one,
okay,
you're safe.
There you go. Okay, good. But he does have those, I think, like, there's something to be said for that as well, because not every receiver is going to run the way he did on those screens.
Now I just want to do like an uncensored football guy podcast on either our show or your show. But we'll save that for another day, and not regulated by the FCC here on the radio. John Kime with us for another minute or two here on the Hoffman Show. Real quick on the way out here, John, the guys that we would think they're probably working on now, like the top of their priorities list, would be Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, and Jeremy Chinn. Do you presume that any of those three get re-signed before the league year opens and before free agency begins?
I would think so, because you know they want them back, and so I would think so. Yes, I would think so. It's just, listen, man, it makes sense. We know they want to be back. So things are in place for that. So I would be surprised if all of them hit the market, for sure. Because, I mean, I know with Ertz and Wagner, I don't know what their market is going to be. I think Zach could have one maybe a little bit more because of position. And, you know, I think with Bobby, I think it's, you know, his value here is high. And they know it, so, you know, they want him back. They want Ertz back. I think they get something. My guess, Craig, this is a guess. My guess is they would get it done beforehand.
Yeah, I think it's that, especially with Zach. Like, Bobby, yeah. I could see going back to the West Coast and just being like, hey, this was a great year. I'll be rooting for you guys from over here, but I'm going to get back. Like, I'm done at Howard. I have no reason to be on the East Coast anymore.
Right.
Zach is like, I want to restart my career with Jaden Daniels. So I feel like very – and by the way, Cliff is the only guy he said he wants to play for the rest of his career too.
Correct.
He's only got one place he can do that. So we'll see how that goes down. John Kime, you can check out the podcast, the John Kime Report, wherever you get your podcast, and, of course, read him as news breaks and analysis is necessary at ESPN.com. John, appreciate it, sir. Have a great weekend, and I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Craig. Always enjoy.
Same for me as well. John Kime with us here on the Hoffman Show. Two conversations, the last two that I've got for you from Indy, or I guess two of the last three that I have for you that were recorded on Radio Row in Indianapolis. Come at you next here on the Hoffman Show, starting with their analytics guru / analytics analyst. That's an important thing that will make sense in a moment. Their analytics analyst, Cynthia Freeland, next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the Free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980, where you see television, Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network, analytics, guru. Like, do you care what your official title is?
No.
Or are you just like, no, I like guru. Guru works for me.
I'm going to be honest with you. It became analytics expert because saying analytics analyst made people scared. They were going to say a bad word.
Oh, I just thought it was a tongue twister. Now I'm scared to try it. Although, to truth be told to the audience, we're taping. So if I did say the bad word, we could just bleep it. All right. So you have maybe the most unique, like there's so many different people in here with views on the draft. But because of the fact that you look at it.
I'm a psychopath. Yes. Uh-huh.
No, you are not a psychopath. You are an analytics analyst. See, I did it.
Nailed it.
Radio
Nailed
professional.
It.
Mm-hmm. You like actually the reason I want to ask you this is because in your write-up in your mock draft for Washington, you're like, I'm surprised this happened, but this is what the model said. It's like, how often does that happen for you, where because like you are surrounded by people that are looking at certain factors purely through like a film lens, or they get to know the person like the human as a person, and you are going, the model says X. Like, how often does that kind of conundrum happen for you?
Well, by the way, I will say, this was before the news came out that a certain Alabama middle of the defensive line
yes.
player said he might not want to be. Anyway, so.
Yeah, John Allen has requested a trade. Her mock draft 1.0 is before that.
Correct.
Established
so
for the record.
I will say that because this is a great defensive tackle class.
Yes.
So that probably would have changed things. However, I just try to do a thought exercise that's a bit different. I don't want to take. Like, if you want to go for, like, accuracy and rumors, look, Daniel Jeremiah, my colleague, he's amazing at that, but he talks to people and he gets, like, the real information on it. I just try to pair it. I use the thought exercise of trying to pair how many wins you'd get now should you pick this player with free agency in mind. So kind of win now, but with free agents also factored in. This doesn't really apply to you guys because it really just kind of takes the quarterbacks at the top and say, would it be smarter for the Giants, for example, to take a rookie or to take a veteran? And that's newsflash. I have them not I have them taking the rookie, which is surprising to me, actually.
Yeah. But. Why do you say, let's unpack that for folks. Like, yeah. Why do you say, as the person who's like in charge of the model and doing the analytics and like...
It's like my model spitting back at me.
Yeah, so why is that something surprising to you?
Because the scarcity of the offensive tackle position this year is like, there's not very many. Like, basically it's LSU and then like the rest are all kind of a...
Yeah, huge question marks.
Will Campbell's the same, but I'm still in the college mode because I watch their film with a color, so I'm like, LSU. So so ultimately, the scarcity of that and how poorly they're lined... My model doesn't even like the guy that everyone thinks is still good, Andrew Thomas. My model doesn't even like him.
He hasn't played well for like 2 years, so that's what it is.
It is what it is. So when I'm looking at that, I would think that the scarcity would put that ahead and with a... But it didn't. I was surprised by it.
Yeah. So I'm going to... This then becomes also fun to ask you because this is the question I'm asking everyone who sits in that chair all week, which is basically, with what Washington did last year, which was so unexpected, did you learn anything about how you can find success in the NFL, or did something get like extremely clarified for you? Maybe you had like a 2 out of 10 weight on it, and now it's like, oh, that's actually a 9 out of 10. So is there something for that? Because for you, that could, I would assume, affect how you actually build some of these models and like try to get it to spit out the right answers. Because like someone like Jaden, I'm sure, broke the model because he did stuff that we'd never seen a rookie do before.
Jaden was my number one quarterback. You can go back a year ago, and I did know that the Bears were going to take Caleb. I was told that, but I did. But
yeah,
in terms of numbers, because right now one of the key things that was verified by Jaden Daniels was the ability to throw on the run. And I'm not talking about like a little tiny jog, and I'm not talking about like not your feet not set. I'm talking about like full blown freaking sprint, like 8 miles an hour. Not 8 miles an hour is fast. That's a fast run. Like I can't run that fast, like consistently.
No, go and put 8 miles an hour on a treadmill and see how long you
have fun.
Last. Yeah,
and then try to throw a football with velocity.
Right.
Good luck. You
right.
know,
and those accuracy. Are, yeah.
Even just velocity.
Yeah.
Like it's like wee. Like it's hard. So at the end of the day, that right now has been something that has been selected for valuably. It has worked. That works for them. I really did like the pairing of Cliff Kingsbury, Dan Quinn. I've never met a player that isn't like, I love DQ with all my heart.
Yes.
Like, so that stuff matters. And I love the pairing of Cliff Kingsbury, who is able to then focus just on the offense, which is where he is very, very smart. And I loved the veteran presence there. Your veteran tight end is a big deal. Zach Ertz is huge. I love Terry McLaurin. I'm a huge Terry McLaurin stan. So it's
same.
So it, I
have been since I was on the beat covering him in 2019 as a rookie.
Constantly underrated. And everyone was like, don't draft him in fantasy. I'm like, draft him in fantasy. You're going to be fine. But ultimately, I thought that I was worried about the O-line. But they had answers for it. And it was namely Jaden Daniels' legs. But
and Eric Bieniemy not calling plays, but I don't need to dig up old stuff. Cynthia Freeland's with us here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. So, like, let's have that existential conversation then as someone who works in the analytics world. Because one of the common criticisms of analytics, and I don't feel this way. I'm just presenting the argument so we can talk about
it. I've heard
it,
them all. Trust me.
It's fascinating.
Have you ever read my Twitter mentions? I've heard them all.
Oh, God, I don't want to imagine what's in your
it's
Twitter
fine.
Mentions.
It's fine.
The analytics can't measure heart. They can't measure this. Mm-hmm. And, like, the old school nature.
You don't know anything about football. You never played.
Well, there's that one. But, like, the idea of the character, the humanization of the game, because it's played by humans, it's not played on a spreadsheet. And to hear you glow about someone like DQ, who it embraces analytics.
Matters.
And, like, but to understand, like, that guy's going to get more out of the player than another coach would. Is there a way to factor that into models? Is it something that then you just interpret the model with the analysis? And, like, that's why you can't just look at the output of a spreadsheet and, like, assume that everybody can look at that spreadsheet and draw the same conclusions? Like, how do you manage that part
of it? To me, it's garbage in, garbage out. As someone who makes a model, if my coach is saying, these are the things that I value, these are the attributes that I want, this is how I want my player to succeed, that's the perspective that a guy like Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury come from. How do I make them succeed? And Adam Peters, for that matter.
Yes.
Like, how do I make my asset better than they could? Like, how do I use select for their best traits? Not for all of their traits, but how do I push them into the areas that are best for them? So if a coach tells me, this is what I like, third down efficiency, rushing, whatever you want, right? You can create a model that therefore reflects their values. And what that does is it surfaces. So for quarterback, this isn't a great one, but let's talk about like your sixth O lineman, right? Like These are areas where you can take someone who's average and in your system, find the people who are a bit above average that you're not overpaying for, because you have to get quarterback right. Great. You have to get, I mean, corner will be a great situation for you guys, right? You get Marshawn Lattimore's full season of healthy, presumably,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But that'd be great. You got, so that's a free agent acquisition, just made it last year, and then maybe you can draft like whatever. So point being is, how do you find the traits that you want and select for them in your environment? And then, by the way, respect things like Zach Ertz's veteran presence. You know, he had a great season from like a number standpoint, but I would argue that like his value is significantly higher for the coaching aspect that he brings to the on field. Like, line up over here. No, over here.
Right.
Like, you can see it ahead
He's
of the
snap.
He's
a force multiplier.
Exactly. But it maybe isn't in a stat or something that like I can measure. But if you watch, you could measure that even, you know. And so
right.
The thing is like garbage in, garbage out. If I have great inputs into what, If good stuff in, good stuff out, right? If you're telling me to focus on these things and surface more like this, I can make you 10% better.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, like,
it's why
no...
I've always liked the tool analogy for
exactly.
analytics. Like, it is a tool.
Yep.
And if you're a good carpenter...
I got a new analogy for you.
Okay.
Compound interest.
Okay.
Okay? Like, you know, like, if you... it's
You're going to lose us because we're an anti... Not an anti-math show. We're a bad at math show.
Guys, we're going to be good at math here.
Okay. We're going to
try.
We're going to do our best for Cynthia. All right,
so if you're getting, like, an 8%, 10% increase... Let's just do 10%. It's easier.
10% is easy. That's,
yep.
that's my level.
8 years, your initial investment doubles.
Okay.
So if I make you 10% better every game, 17-game season, it's about a game and a half better, which is a big deal.
Yes, 100%. The reason I like the tool analogy
yeah.
is like, if you're a bad carpenter, it doesn't matter
nope, correct.
Like
right.
what kind of tool you're using. Like
that's right.
If you don't know how to use a saw, then you don't...
Then maybe don't pick up the saw.
Exactly. And I feel like that's... Yeah. A lot of times coaching, like one of the things that I've, you know, as I'm having these conversations this week and thinking about team building more than I ever have, because not only what Washington's doing, but or the Commanders are doing, I should say, but like the Wizards are in the middle of a rebuild and like all of DC sports is like, hey, how do we build a team? And it's just like,
it's
I don't
easy.
Know. The answer seems to be good at your job. Like, it's just, hey, Adam Peters is a good scout. Dan Quinn's a good coach. There's no formula. Like, sure, you can say.
Adam Peters is a good scout, but Adam Peters is better at communicating what a commander is.
That's also 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, not to pick on Ron, but like Ron would say many of the same things and could not execute on them. And that is ultimately the difference of like. Who is using the data? Who is using the formulas? What conclusions do they draw? Just because you have all of the information in front of you doesn't mean you actually know which things are important.
Which part of it are you using?
Exactly.
A lot of signals, a lot of noise.
Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network, draft. I guess right now you're draft analytics, but in general, analytics guru, not analytics analyst, because that was too hard to say for other people. With us here on the Hoffman Show, we got another minute or two here. My other favorite question to ask all the draft folks this week is like, who's your guy in the draft? And so for them, the people that are much more purely tape grinders, it's like, if you could flip on the tape of anyone, who would you watch? Do you have an answer to that? Or is there like someone that you would say, based off the models that I've built, like that's the guy that I'm circling as my guy?
Travis Hunter is, I mean, I'm sure everyone's been saying that. He's just such a unique player.
Right.
112 snaps a game.
It's insane. It's harder than running 8 miles an hour on a treadmill.
And the fatigue level doesn't go down.
Yeah.
Like what is he eating? I need to know. I need to get on his diet.
I need to also be 20 years old again. That would probably be helpful.
Overrated. I obviously he's the most unique draft prospect. I would tell him to play wide receiver.
Interesting, because I feel like a lot of people say corner. Why do you say wide receiver for Hunter?
To be fair, I like defense better in life. I would be a mean safety. That would be my, like, that's what I would like to
be. When people at parties are like, oh, what position would you play?
You're
like, safety.
Like, I'd be Brian M. Effing Branch.
Let's go.
Yeah. I'm from Michigan, so
Makes
I'd have
sense.
To give a Michigan answer. I think that for two reasons. One, the scarcity in this draft of wide receivers. That's the first one. Two, the scarcity of wide receivers in free agency. That's the second one. So I would be a wide receiver. But also, I always think you can do the less hard thing, and I think it's harder to catch the ball than it is to not catch the ball. So I like corners, don't get me wrong, and I like defense. But I think
it's a funky position, though, in this league.
It's a funky position. So I just would go where the money is. Just make it
that
keep
that
it simple.
Also makes sense. If I'm
keep
Travis Hunter,
simple.
I probably want to play wide receiver, especially let's see what T gets. Let's see what Jamar is about to get. It's going to be a whole lot of cash. Cynthia Freeland, you can watch her on NFL Network. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks
Appreciate
for having
you.
Me. Nice to meet you.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And for the second straight year, our pleasure to welcome back to the show here on Radio Row at the NFL Scouting Combine, Lance Erlein, NFL.com.
I remember you had a whole list of, we went through offensive linemen, I think, last year, didn't we?
I think we
you
probably
were looking at the second or third round. We were trying to get some help. You made the right choice at quarterback.
Yep, you were a big Jaden guy. I remember talking. That's what I remember from our chat last year. Was I literally had someone else sit down and say, "You got to take Drake May." Why? Because look at the tape, and you were like, "Jaden Daniels." Why?
If you're actually watching the tape, it wasn't even close. It was Jaden over Drake, and frankly, Jaden had better tape. Jaden and Bo Nix had the best tape last year, but Caleb had, you know.
I mean, you can see why people like Caleb. You see why people like Drake. But, like, the consistency and everything obviously bore out this year.
No, Jaden was, you know, and now you have to – he's a slender body guy, so you got to stay healthy. And there's some – you know, you still have some concerns. You're not out of the woods. You still have – you know, he's still going to run. You still want to make sure he learns to slide, get down, avoid big contact. But he's special. I mean, he's just got special talent.
For sure. So you were saying offensive line, though. That's what you remember from us chatting last year.
Well, no, we did. I just remember we were looking at help also because you had multiple second-round picks, I think, right?
Yeah.
Or multiple day-two picks,
multiple day-two picks, and then they ultimately wound up with two second-rounders with the trade with the Eagles and DeGene, and they got Sandra still and Sinnott and the whole deal. So, but they wound up with Coleman. So they did that. They're definitely in the offensive line market this year, sitting there at 29 and
not
29
Not a great year to need O-line. I mean, it's not bad. Well, okay, out of the first round.
Yeah.
But I think in the first round it's a little tougher because – and I've looked around for offensive linemen, and I just think, you know, I think you're reaching a little bit with tackles. I think there's going to be probably two to three tackles off the board by the time it gets to – Washington, and from there I'm trying to decide, am I going need or am I going best player available? Typically I lean towards best player available, but you know, there are some interesting tackles where you've got decisions to make about, are we going to keep him at tackle or are we going to move him into guard?
So that's what I wanted to follow up with you on, because I think Washington could go either route. I think Washington could say, Brandon Coleman's our left tackle. We're staying at left tackle. And even if you bring Andrew Wiley back, $10 million is not a ton for a starting tackle in the NFL. And Andrew Wiley, can you upgrade on him? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you're not dead in the water with Andrew Wiley, as they proved last year. They made the NFC Championship game with him, and the Chiefs won a bunch of Super Bowls with him. So you definitely could look at left guard and say that's where we want to actually make the big investment. So is there one of those guys that you really like as like a starting caliber guard that you say, if Washington takes that guy at 29, you're getting an A from me?
I like Donovan Jackson from Ohio State. You know, he played some tackle, so he had to in a pinch. They lost their starting left tackle, Josh Simmons, and they lost their backup. So they're in the third, and he said, I'll step out and play it. And he did an admirable job.
Which, by the way, is a very similar story to Brandon Coleman at TCU.
Very similar.
Very similar story.
Yeah, and so, you know, I thought his run blocking is really good on tape. He's tough. He's got pass protection experience as a tackle, and which I love, because nowadays you want to be able to defend the interior because there's so much twisting in games and everyone's looking for, you know, it's a good defensive tackle pass rush. So you're going to have teams stocking up on defensive tackles that can play a little bit, and then in defensive ends that they'll sub package, they'll reduce down inside, which brings up its own set of problems and concerns. So I think Donovan Jackson would probably get an A for me, because I think it's a good pick. It's a fit. I think the value is good. I don't think it's too big a reach. I think late first and early second is where I have him. The tape is good. He starts right away. He potentially upgrades. I think it's and he's tough. You know, you always want to make sure, once you have a good quarterback, you want to make sure you tighten up the running game, because you don't want to put too much on their plate year after year after year. It just gets too hard.
So speaking of the running game, that's another good place to go in this draft, and actually like a very, very good place to go in this draft by most evaluators. Lance Erlein, NFL.com. Again, Lance's claim to fame. You're like, I know that name. Why? Because he writes every single one of those summaries that you see at the bottom of a scouting profile on NFL.com this time of year. So that's your guy right there. This running back class seems like it's deep. It seems like it is. There's a lot of variance in it. If you want a power back, there's power back, speed back, scat back.
Yeah.
What like, is there a guy that you think is, I don't say this year's Bucky Irving stylistically, but a guy that could come in, start right away, and have a huge impact on a team like Washington?
Well, I mean, there's lots of guys. I think O'Marrion Hampton could potentially be that guy. There's a guy that I like a lot out of Virginia Tech, Bayashaw Tutin. Is a player that probably is a day two running back that
let's double click on him because we have a ton of Hokies fans that certainly listen. We carry some Hokies basketball and football in the station.
Something like 38 touchdowns over the last 3 years, rushing touchdowns. He's had two different 1,000-yard rushing seasons. He had an injury his junior year, so he didn't get to 1,000, but he was an 1,100-yard rusher his sophomore year. He hit the 1,000-yard mark again this year. He has track speed. You know, he's going to run probably in the low 4.4s to high 4.3s out here, so he's got breakaway speed. I thought he was a competitive runner, meaning he was physical when he needed to be physical. He had a little bit of, he really created through power and through speed, and he can catch the pass a little bit. He did it more so, not as much this year. He had less than 100 yards receiving, but in his background, he's got over 300 yards receiving in a single season. So he's a guy who can play all three downs. You can get him on the second day of the draft, and I think he can become a future starter. But there's a lot of those kind of stories, as you mentioned. I'm looking at 29 and I'm saying Hampton, but Travion Henderson is the one that's going to really excite people, because everyone wants what was big the last year, right? You wanted, what did the Eagles do? What did the Lions do with Jahmyr Gibbs? Is Travion the next Jahmyr Gibbs? I don't think he is, but I think he's got some of those elements. And so for me, Travion Henderson from Ohio State, you know, he comes in and adds another layer to the Washington offense. Now I got a guy who can hit home runs, because he and Quinshon Judkins were in the same backfield with the same offensive line, yet one guy averaged 2 yards more per carry. And that's Travion Henderson. That's the home run hitter. So you want a hammerhead? Go and get Judkins. You want a guy that's got a chance to play all three downs and mismatch people out of the backfield? That's Travion Henderson. Choose your poison.
Lance Erlein with us, NFL.com, here on the Hoffman Show. In there, you talked about some guys that their 23 tape, their 24 tape is a little different, and maybe the 24 tape is not as good. How do you make sense of that? Because it seems to be a theme for some top guys, like a Luther Burden, the wide receiver out of Mizzou, right? Like, everyone's like, his 23 tape, excellent. His 24 tape, like, I got to figure out what was going on there. So,
how do you tell what was going on?
It was hurt for part of it.
Quarterback was terrible. Mm. His same quarterback was so much better in 11. I mean, in 23 than 24. It's because I realized that once I watched, because I watched all his targets in 23 and then all his targets in 24. And then I hyper-focused on, he had caught a ton of hitches. That's not his choice. They just threw him a bunch of hitches and short stuff. So I eliminated all throws inside of 9 yards in the line of scrimmage. And I watched all throws 10 to 19 and then 20 yards and beyond, so I could get a feel for what he would look like as a pro wide receiver. And, you know, so I watched all these targets to him, and then I went and watched Brady Cook, the quarterback, because I had to write him up because he's at the combine. And so I start with 23, and I look at – actually, I start with 24, and I'm like, ugh, this is bad. This is really rough. Then I went to 23, and I'm like, holy cow. It's a lot better. Yeah, it was a lot better. Hmm. And so I think part of it was what the offense asked him to do. Too many people are box score scouting. They look at the production, and it's not as good. What happened to Luther Burden? I watched the tape and I'm like, nothing. Luther Burden looks good when he's going up for the ball and challenging people on contested catches, and his ability to win deep, even though they say he's not going to run real fast. He plays fast. So I think Luther Burden is one of those players that – so to answer your question.
Yeah, so ultimately, if say it's not Luther Burden, but is there's a guy whose the tape is different year to year, how do you try to make sense of that, especially when the worst tape is more recent?
I had that with Quinn Ewers. So with Quinn Ewers, it was interesting. I actually wrote Quinn primarily off the 23 tape, and then I factored in 24 decision-making, things like that.
For those that don't know, quarterback Texas.
Quarterback Texas, yeah. And so I did that with – there's Harold Cross, I think, Howard Cross's son, who's at Notre Dame. Better in 23 than 24. It actually happens more times. Yeah,
safety
than you
from
may
Georgia,
think.
I think, was kind of the same.
Malachi. But that's because they asked Malachi Starks to play in the slot more, and he's not really a great corner guy. He's better playing safety. So when I went back and watched him in safety, I'm like, oh, okay. I actually see it better.
Yeah.
So that's a really good question, because I go back 2 years. Not everyone will go back 2 years because it takes a lot of work. That's what I get paid for. And what you do is – It really changes from player to player. It depends on what you see, because what you'll do is you'll factor in 23, or you'll say, okay, Malachi Starks, I don't expect them to play him like that. I'm going to go with mainly the 23 tape and not the 24 tape. It really depends on your health. It depends on your attitude. It depends on how a team played someone. Is it more likely that 23 is going to pop back up? And if I think maybe, or that may be the outlier, then I'm drifting away from 23. If I think, yes, I can see 23 happening again with a different team, because I always like to put you in the best position possible.
Yeah.
Like, if this player is with this team, what's it going to look like?
Last two questions for Lance Erline, NFL.com, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Also, make sure to check out NFL Network's Path to the Draft and all their great coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft. All right, these two questions I'm asking basically everyone that rolls through. First one, we're seeing what Washington did last year and the unexpected success that they had. Is there anything you learn from what they did, or that in an extreme way clarifies something that you thought about team building and about how to find success in the NFL?
You know what? I actually, there is something, and it has less to do with draft day, and it has more to do with the head coach and the interviews that he had, where he said, my second time around, I'm cutting it loose. You know, his first time in the batter's box, he was a little tight. His second time in the batter's box, he said, we're going for fourth downs. I don't have a care in the world. I'm with house money. I got a second head coaching opportunity. I'm firing away. And I think it's that playing to win. There's two types of people at a casino. I'm probably not supposed to say this since I work for the NFL. But there's two types of people in a casino. There's the people who get to a blackjack table and they get a little hot and they start putting chips back in their pocket, or they start going, they bet lower because they want to, you know, minimize, they want to maximize their chances of walking away with a little bit of money. And, you know, they're playing with house money, but they really want to just, okay, if I get to this amount, I'm leaving the table. Then you have the people who will lose big sometime, but they will win big like the other guy can't. The other guy can't win big because he won't take chances. I see it with quarterbacks all the time. Jameis Winston was the guy take the shot.
Yeah.
And Marcus Mariota in that draft was the, I'm just not going to take any chances. I'm not going to cut it loose. Dan Quinn basically said, you know what? I'm going to cut it loose. I'm playing with house money now. So what that did for me is I realized, if you want to build a team of winners, sometime you have to have a winning kind of screw it mentality, but not in a
it's not an arrogant way.
Not in an arrogant way, but also not in a careless, reckless way.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, I believe in you guys, because once you go for it, you're telling them I believe in it. John Harbaugh does it all the time with Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Sometime I think he shouldn't do it. And there were times I thought Washington shouldn't do it, and then I looked at their success rate.
Well,
and
they were
like,
the best one in 25 years.
The best in, yeah. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Best in 25 years.
Yeah, they were like 80-something percent. It was the best in 25 years.
But you don't
years.
Do that if you don't have a quarterback who's multifaceted.
That's what I was going to say, too, is like, it's a lot easier to have that. It's not reckless because you have Jaden Daniels, and I think that's something that was also like understanding the strength of your team. And like for them, they, even though Dan's a defensive guy, they were an offensive football team. The best player on their team was five. And they were like, how often can we put the ball in the game in five's hands? And the fourth down is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like in basketball. If you have a really special player, you put it in their hands more.
Yeah, eventually you just call ISO and get the hell out the way.
That's what you did. And you called ISO with him on fourth downs, and more times than not, you know, he got to the hoop and made the basket.
Jammed on people.
Yeah, dunked on people or made a three.
Last question. This is my favorite one to ask all the draft guys. Who's your guy in this draft? So if I tell you, you get to flip on any tape you want. I'm going to give you an hour. It's your, I mean, probably, you know, like, I've watched enough tape. I would let her do something else in my hour. But I'm like, you got an hour in the film room. There's no one you have to watch. Whose tape are you flipping on in this draft? Or you just can't get enough of it?
Man, I can go in a lot of different directions here. I'm going to give you one. I mean, there's a lot of directions I can go. I'm going to give you one that's probably not real sexy, but Armon Membo, the offensive tackle out of Missouri.
Yep.
When I watched him, I was like, you know, Braden Swenson's another one out of LSU that I think everyone's too low on. Like, you better get on the Braden Swenson train.
Where's he at?
He's like a pass rusher out of LSU. He's probably a day two, you know, second or third rounder, but I see him on an upward trajectory. Armon Membo is 330 pounds of good lean mass, not bad weight. He is about 6'3", I think. I got to see what his combine height was. 6'3", 6'3 and a half, 34-inch arms, which is good arms. The guy has great technique, great core strength, really tough, very physical, can play outside zone, which is a move-based system, or gap, which is more downhill and strong. So, you know, I watched his tape, and I just came away thinking, I don't see a lot of bad reps.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't see a lot
You're
of bad reps.
You're not the only one, actually, that said that. There's been a couple of the guys that I think do a really great job that are like, watch that kid.
To me, he's the safest offensive lineman in this draft.
Which, he's like 20, right?
Isn't yeah, that's he, the other thing to love. Like, most of these
safe
other guys
and
are 23.
He's young. Yeah.
He's safe, young, he's strong, he's technically sound. There's a lot of things to love about him, and his age is one of them.
For sure. Lance Erline, read his work, NFL.com. You can also check him out on NFL Network's coverage leading up to the NFL draft. Lance, always appreciate you. Thank
good
you.
Stuff. You know your stuff. He knows his stuff. He's good.
I try my best. More from Indy next on the Team 980.
It's the final literal minute of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. What a week it has been. Three shows from Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. Appreciate Linnell. And then Doc was here on Monday, right, Anthony?
Doc was here on Monday, yes.
Yeah, I appreciate them. Actually, two shows from Indy, but a lot of today's show from Indy as well. Stuff that we didn't have time for earlier in the week. Dane Brugler, Matt Miller, Cynthia Freeland, on down the list. Lance Zierlein, had so many phenomenal guests in Indy. A lot of our local reporters that were there, Ben Standing, JP Finley, Mitch Tischler. So it's great to see everybody, spend some time there in Indy. We got one more, bit from Indy for you. Our reporter roundtable will get to you next week, plus full combine recap. Logan and I will have more from you on Take Command as well. Trevor Sikkema interview already up there. Until then, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.